producing state, was a necessary partner in the West Asia North Africa region, a realization that came months into the West sanctions campaign aimed at Russia. The Biden administration quickly decided to change its stance. In July, the president decided to go on a foreign visit to Saudi Arabia, while in the days prior, he entered into discussions about beginning to supply the Saudis with offensive weapons again. The framing of this was a little disingenuous because the weapon sales freeze of February 2021 had effectively been ended by April of the same year anyway. Both of these moves came as a clear attempt to get Saudi Arabia to raise oil production levels, a goal that failed as the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman refused to pander to the US president. Since then, the U.S. regime approved a potential multi-billion dollar deal with Saudi Arabia and the UAE. And in August, the Biden administration granted the Saudi Crown Prince immunity from a civil lawsuit over his role in the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Biden was reportedly humiliated earlier this year after allegedly bringing up the Khashoggi killing to the Crown Prince, who fired back by citing the Zionist regime killing of Palestinian-American journalist Shirin Abu Aghla, asking why Jamal Khashoggi mattered more. Notably, the U.S. head of state failed a number of times to even pronounce Shirin Abu Aghla's name correctly when delivering a speech just days earlier and did not bring the killing up to Israeli regime representatives. The White House insinuated in its opposition to Senator Bernie Sanders' resolution on Yemen and that it had a hand in the six-month-long ceasefire between the two primary opposing sides in the war. The reality was that it was the UN that brokered the ceasefire, which ended on October 2nd. The day following Sanders' withdrawal of his power resolution, two fuel shipments carrying tons of diesel were seized by the Saudi-led coalition and prevented from reaching Yemen. The blockade of Yemen is one of the major factors contributing to the resurgence of tensions. The Biden administration has so far proven ineffective at bringing the Saudis under its wing in the way it had hoped, indicating that its foreign policy tactics have proven ineffective at best. The U.S. regime has shown that it cannot be trusted to keep its word, as was proven by other things. Regardless of how things go, it is clear that the U.S. influence in the Arabian Peninsula is rapidly declining, and part of its legacy will be this brutal war that has cost upwards of 400,000 lives, and that the Biden administration has refused to end.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Kalawaslam page. We're welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I'm Ata, the host of this program. Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and Sheikh Rouhani are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom for today's discussion. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about the respect that Islam has for Christianity and Jesus Christ and Lady Maryam and how. So, Sheikh Rouhani, let's start with you. Is Christianity at all respected by the religion of Islam?
Yes, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, historically talking, when the companions of the Holy Prophet, salawatullah alayhi wa alihi, went to Ethiopia, the king of Ethiopia was a Christian.
Okay.
And then some of the infidels and the polytheists of Mecca also went to Ethiopia to arrest these Muslims and bringing them back to Mecca.
The kuffar, you mean,
yeah,
the mushrikeen.
Yeah, of course, yes. The infidels,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when the king of Ethiopia actually brought these people in his castle, he asked them some questions. Mm-hmm. One of the questions was this, that what does Islam say about Lady Maryam, salamullah alayha, and the birth of Jesus Christ?
Okay.
When Ja'far read some of those verses about Lady Maryam, salamullah alayha, then this king of Ethiopia cried and said that this is the truth that you brought to us by Islam. This is the exact thing that happened for Lady Maryam and Jesus Christ. Not only he didn't give them back to these mushrikeen, he said that I will strongly and powerfully protect them against you and will serve them here in my country because they are the true mu'mineen, the true believers.
Yes.
So this was the story of the first, let's say, story that
interaction
between Islam and Christianity in the history.
That's right.
But later, we see that in Islam, of course, Jesus Christ, alayhi salam, and Lady Maryam, and the companions, or the, let's say, the
Hawariyun.
Yeah,
yes.
Hawariyun.
Yes.
All of them are respected.
Yes.
By Islam.
Yes.
And there are lots of commonalities and shared areas and beliefs between Islam and Christianity.
Christianity, that's right.
And also you see that Christians lived in Islamic territory, in Islamic world, throughout the history peacefully with non-Muslims.
Yes.
Even there were Christians in Mecca and Medina at the time of the Holy Prophet and the Khulafa and the other periods of the history of Islam, they all lived in different Islamic countries. And nowadays you see that Christians are living in Iran and they have no problem. They are living peacefully and they are respected by Islam. The same way Muslims lived peacefully with Christians in Christian, let's say, territory.
Okay.
Throughout the history of Islam. I think this way, actually, Islam did respect, actually, Christianity,
yes.
the teachings and the doctrines of Christianity. But, of course, there are some differences,
yes.
different viewpoints, different ideas. That Islam is different from Christianity. But it doesn't mean that there is no tolerance, there is no respect between Muslims and non-Muslims.
And Sayyid Mohsen, when we refer to the Holy Quran, there are so many ayahs. Even a chapter is called Maryam, you know, after Lady Maryam, and, you know, especially about the quality of the birth of Prophet Jesus Christ, the miracles that he had done. All these have shown that Prophet Muhammad and Islam had much, much respect for Christianity, especially, and the monotheism that was followed by the religion of Christianity on that time by Prophet Jesus Christ. What are the exact, we can say, ethical and social virtues that Prophet Jesus Christ, we know, has conveyed to the religion of Islam? Can we say it this way? Or, for example, it's better to say how, for example, the religion of Islam benefited from the teachings of Prophet Jesus Christ.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, there is a link and a depth link between the Christianity and Islam, as there is a connectivity and in-depth connectivity between the Judaism, Christianity and Islam. These religions are known as Abrahamic religion. Yes. Why? Because they all believe that the Abraham alayhi salam was the prophet of God, and obviously they are following the religion of Abraham. This is the first thing. The second thing is that there are many verses in the Quran which talks about the Christianity. Because when we are talking about the Jesus Christ or the Holy Mary, these are two personalities.
Yes.
Who are also believed in Islam and in Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
So other than that, we have the verses which is talking about the Christianity itself.
Yes.
Because I was going through the verses and, for example, in chapter Ma'idah, which is the fifth chapter of the Quran, verse number 69, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالصَّابِعُونَ وَالنَّصَارَ. So those who believed, it's from Muslims, number one.
Yes.
The Jews, yes. Number two. Sabi'un, the Sabians.
Yes.
Obviously, they
the
were
Sabians, that's
Sabians.
Right. They are still living in Iran.
Yes.
In the thousand part of
so
Iran.
So the third category, yeah. The fourth people, Nasara, the Christians. Man amana billah, whoever believes in Allah. Wal yawm al-akhir, and the day of judgment.
So it means all of these believe.
All of them.
Okay.
Judaism, Christianity, in Christianity, Judaism, yes, Islam, and Sabians.
Yes.
Those people who believe in Allah, the day of judgment, wa amila salihah, and they have performed the good deeds, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. It means that they will not have any grief for the past, which they have done, or for the future. So this is common. This is a common thing between all the Abrahamic religions, because these four categories are the Abrahamic religions, basically. So in Abrahamic religions, if they believe in Allah, means monotheism, one God. If they believe in one God, the day of judgment, and they perform good deeds, obviously they all will be the ones who are successful in hereafter.
Yes.
Now, there are other types of verses as well that we have in the Quran where the relation between the Islam and the Christianity and Judaism is not good. Where we have, for example, the verse in the same chapter, chapter 5, verse number 51, where Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O those who believed, Muslims, لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء, don't take the Jews and the Christians your guardian.
Yes.
As a leader.
As a leader, that's right.
Right? Why? Because if you do so, because they are not following the teachings of Allah.
Yes.
They are not believing in hereafter. Today, you know, we have the Jews and the Christians in the world. What they are doing is, obviously, they don't believe in one God. They're not the monotheists. So from them, Quran says that don't go near them.
Those from among the Christians?
Yes, amongst the Christians and the Jews. That's
but,
what
but we know about. That Christianity and Judaism is a monotheistic religion, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
But on top of that, obviously, when they say that the Jesus is the Son of God, they come out of the
Trinity,
tradition.
Yes.
Why? Because we have the verse in the Quran, where chapter 7, verse number 14, it says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kunu, all those who believe, be like Ansar Allah, be the companions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes. كما قال عيسى ابن مريم للحواريين من أنصاري إلى الله قال الحواريون نحن أنصار الله.
Yes.
That the way the Jesus, son of Mary, has said to his disciples that who will be from the companions of Allah.
Yes.
قال الحواريون نحن أنصار الله. They said we are.
We are.
So the thing is that at the time of the prophet Jesus, when we are talking about him at his time, when he had his companions, they used to believe in one God. That's what Islam says.
Yes.
Because, you know, even when we talk about the Jesus, we believe him as a prophet of God.
Yes.
Whereas the Christians, they say he is the Son of God.
Yes.
Now, the reason they bring is that, have you ever seen a boy, like a child, being born without a father? Right?
Okay.
That's their reasoning for that.
That's right.
Because he had a mother, he had no father. On top of that, we give answer that the Adam alayhi salam, who you think that he was a prophet of God, he neither had a mother nor father.
Yes.
Right?
Okay.
So basically, at the time of Jesus never said that I am the Son of God. He was the prophet of God. So therefore, in the verses of the Quran,
and there are so many miracles, yes. For example, talking when in cradle, you know, isn't
yes.
it? Or for example, healing the dead.
Healing the death. All these are the miracles which are given by the God to the prophets so that they prove yes. that they are from God. They
yes.
are the prophets of the God. The way yes. the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had miracles. Prophet mm-hmm. Ibrahim had
yes.
the miracles. Prophet Moses had the miracle. So all these miracles are to prove that he is from God. He
That's
is
right.
this messenger of God. But the point is that in the Quran, when we look at the Quran, yes, we have the verses which are in praise, and definitely they are in the praise of the Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is one of the prophets. He is one of the prophets. Now, the point is, the relation between the Christianity and Islam is that the religion is one.
Mm-hmm.
All the prophets from Adam alayhi salam, the first prophet, till Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they all brought one religion, which is known as Islam.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But the Sharia, which is related to the rules of that time, the rulings that we have, the laws
differ,
that
yes.
are applied, they're different.
Yes, that's right.
So as far as it is concerned, why we think that we have a good relation with the Christians is because they are the Abrahamic religion. They also were like the Prophet Jesus brought Islam in his time, but obviously there was an upgradation
yes.
of the religion.
Mm-hmm.
And the final upgradation of the religions, all the religions that we had, it is the Islam. So Islam accepts all the prophets before it, because being a Muslim, I need to believe in 124,000 prophets and
yes.
messengers. This is one of my beliefs.
That's right. But Sheikh Rouhani, brother, is it at all true for a Muslim to read out about Christianity? I mean, I as a Muslim go and read out about Christianity, their books, for example, their teachings and trainings, or Judaism, but here we are talking about Christianity now.
You know, actually, no. If you are certain and 100% sure that the beliefs you have are the true belief, the
okay.
lifestyle that you have are the true,
okay.
and your religion is the true religion, then actually, logically, there's no need
mm-hmm.
to study about any other religions. But yeah, sometimes you want to be a researcher, like a researcher, you want to find out some similarities, dissimilarities, yeah, between the religions. As a researcher, yeah, you can do that. There's no problem with that. But as a Muslim, that it should be, can it be a religious duty to study about other religions? No.
Okay.
You have to make sure and 100% certain yourself that your religion, your faith, your beliefs are true based on rational, okay. logical principles.
Yes.
This is the way. But when it comes to this point that how did Islam respect
mm-hmm.
Christianity?
Yes.
I think there is, unfortunately, sometimes a misunderstanding or a misconception of the history of Islam
yes.
as compared to the true teachings of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way that Amawid caliphs or
yes.
Abbasid caliphs
okay.
treated non-Muslims, Zoroastrians or, let's say, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, and let's say, Christians.
Yes.
The way they treated was something. And the way that the Holy Prophet himself, salawatullahi alayhi,
mm-hmm.
treated them in Medina
yes.
and Mecca in his time, that was something different. Sometimes, unfortunately, these Orientalists study about the history of Islam from the perspective of Amawid caliphs. They
really?
Misunderstand that Amawid caliphs are the symbols of Islam.
Okay, very good.
While in Islam, within Islam,
mm-hmm.
we have lots of scholars, particularly Shia Muslims, disagree. And the imams of the Shia,
yes, yes.
were totally disagree with the way that Amawids did with
very
the,
good.
To
this
the
is, non-Muslims. This is the missing link.
Yeah, of course.
In the Islamic
yeah.
studies by the Westerners. For
Unfortunately,
example,
yeah.
when they talk about, as you said, Abbasids,
yeah.
they forget the Shiite imams.
Exactly.
Even
exactly.
when the Amavids, Umayyads,
exactly.
they
yeah.
forget about the Shiite imams and the role
they,
that they
yeah,
have.
Yeah, they don't know that these, for example, Yazid,
mm-hmm.
as the Amawid caliph,
yes.
what he did with the Shia imam,
mm-hmm.
Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, and the children and the Ahlul Bayt household of this imam, was much more aggressive as compared to what they did with the Christians.
Yes.
So the point is that our Muslims or Muslim brothers should understand this point, that they should not consider
Very good.
The Amawid caliphs as an exemplary, let's say, leaders of Islam.
That's
no,
right.
That's
okay.
wrong. That's wrong. What they did with non-Muslims is totally wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's not acceptable.
Yes.
Now, if we look at the Imams,
yes,
the Imam alayhi musallat was, yes, Imam Sadiq, Imam Baqir, Imam Zainul Abidin,
Imam al-Razan, and the other Imams, with, yeah, the non-Muslims,
they sometimes, right, gave these pieces of advice to these caliphs, mm-hmm, that this way that you make others Muslim,
yes,
is not a true Islam.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam treated,
yes,
non-Muslims.
Yes.
Because when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he migrated from Mecca to Medina, he had no one to support him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
But it was the people of Medina, the residents of Medina, who welcomed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi.
Yes.
You know? These residents of Medina, they were Jews, Christians, non-Muslims, Muslims, different people.
Is it also Salman al-Farsi on that time who is supporting Prophet Muhammad in Medina, isn't it? Salman al-Farsi?
Yes, Salman al-Farsi later,
yes,
joined,
yes,
Islam.
Yes,
yeah, of course.
Yes, in Medina, yes.
Yeah. The point is that if we go to the history and study about the, let's say, social conduct of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the Christians, with the Jews,
yes,
we see that the Prophet respected them.
Okay.
Prophet signed certain agreements, peace, yes, treaties with them.
Yes.
They were living peacefully. Yes, yes. Sometimes when the Jews, when the Christians, when the others wanted to attack Muslims,
mm-hmm,
and that time Prophet had this right to defend.
Yes.
That's why the wars of, yes, the Prophet against,
there was a tax defensive system put for them, paying jizya,
yeah,
and living,
yeah,
peacefully.
Yeah,
that's
this
right.
The wars are defensive war, but,
yes,
when it comes to the Amawids, mm-hmm, and the Abbasid caliphs and the other caliphs,
okay,
yeah, what they did with non-Muslims is not, we cannot consider it as totally Islamic kind of,
yes,
treatment. This is the point that our non-Muslim brothers, Christians, Muslims, they should understand it.
That's right. Okay, Said Nelson, about the differences you want to talk about, okay?
We're talking about the differences of the two religions. When we look at the text that we have right now, you know, sometimes when we talk about the relation, some people have this kind of, you know, bearing from what we say, is that either Muslims needs to become Christian or Christians needs to become Muslim. One of the points that our brother has mentioned, I just disagree a little bit, slightly, with,
yes,
the brother, on the question that you asked, do we need to read Christianity or not?
Okay.
I believe that everyone in their religion, first of all, I agree with the brother, they have to affirm knowledge of their own religion first.
Okay.
This is for every single person living in this world. Whatever belief you have, your parents had, you must read that with the logics and all those. You should be firm enough in that, that tomorrow when someone asks you, like, why you're following such a religion, you should give an answer.
Yes.
This is the first thing.
Okay.
The second thing is you must read the other religions as well.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to know that the religion that I'm following is the right religion?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It happens when you read yourself, you're firm enough that you cannot, you know, easily be deviated. When you read the others, obviously you know the difference.
Yes.
Then you become more, you know, you're more firm about what you believe in. So that is the place where generally when we see the others, like when we read others, we are more sure about ourselves.
That's right.
For example, if a Christian is having a firm, like he's a priest or he has read the Christianity properly, when he comes and reads the Quran, obviously he might find something. And we have seen many priests becoming Muslim.
Just mere reading after,
why,
the Holy Quran.
Yes,
right.
Why? Because they had the firm knowledge of their own religion.
Mm-hmm.
Later, when they came to Quran, when they read Quran, they found more things.
Yes.
And the differences. So basically, this studying is there. Yes, we don't say that this is an obligation.
Mm-hmm.
That was right from the brother.
Yes.
This is not an obligatory for,
okay,
everyone to do.
Yes.
But at least you need to read your own religion and things that are near you.
That's
when,
right,
someone comes to you to say that.
Okay.
The main difference between the Quran and the Bible is that the Bible is the gospel of the companions or the people who came after the Prophet
Jesus. Many years after it was
so
compiled,
many years after.
Yes.
Whereas the Quran is the
original
words of the Prophet,
yes,
which are in a written form.
Yes.
So this is the main difference between these,
okay,
two. So we need to, obviously, we have the respect of the,
mm-hmm,
religions before us.
That's right.
And Islam never says that disrespect, because in the Quran we have the verses that do not disrespect others' God, which are,
yes,
the fake gods, in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there is a idol worshiper.
Yes.
Don't just curse the idol in front of the person who's worshiping that,
mm-hmm,
idol.
Even if it's idol worshiper.
Even,
okay,
the idol. Why?
Yes.
Because when you say so, you are basically making him against you. He make a mentality against you.
Yes.
And he says the same wordings about your God, which is the right God.
Okay.
So the main idea is through dialogues, through love. And Islam is the religion of love.
That's right.
And it calls for the peace.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani and Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, for a nice elaboration regarding how much Islam respects the Christianity, Prophet Jesus Christ, and Lady Maryam. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا
Food for thought.
Salam, dear listeners. On the eve of the new year of the Gregorian calendar, we present you an interesting saying regarding Prophet Jesus, peace upon him, from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as related by his divinely designated vicegerent, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him. The Messenger of Allah called me and said, O Ali, verily there is a similarity between you and Jesus, the son of Mary, peace upon him. The Christians love him so much that they put him in a position that was not for him. And the Jews hate him so much that they have even slandered his mother. Imam Ali, peace upon him, added, Two groups of men will be ruined because of me. He who goes to extremes in love of me for what I do not have, and he who hates me with a hatred that makes him slander me.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
Thank you. 7. Part 3.
He was born in a village in the heart of the desert. At the age of 5, he became a shepherd in the village, a young shepherd who grazed sheep with his bare feet, and at night his mother would remove the thorns off his hands and feet with a needle. During the entire fall and winter, he worked hard and his hands were frostbitten due to severe cold. Every time the teacher hit him on the back of his hands with a piece of wet branch from pomegranate tree, and he would start crying out loud, his father would shout from the yard in his house, "Don't hit him. Have a little fairness. Qasem's hands are not dirty. His skin has become black." And as far as he could remember, he was always waiting for the spring to come to bring warmth with it. Even though his hands never fired a bullet, they prevented many hands from shedding the blood of innocent people. And after he fell, people in the world didn't shake hands warmly for a long time. A man with a bright future, with a stature to stand tall. Only a few people around Qasem knew the reason behind his sneezing and coughing. They were the effects of the chemical wounds he sustained during the Iraq-Iran war and intensified during the battle for the liberation of Aleppo. Hossein Purjafari, the officer accompanying Qasem, was one of those few people around him. He was a constant companion of Qasem since the war and knew very well that the hard part of the chemical complications for Qasem was not the coughing, but the painful blisters that covered his feet from time to time. The hiding of Daesh among the people made it difficult to clean up the houses in Bu Kemal. It was just as difficult to clean up other cities in Syria. In that situation, the resistance forces had no way to tell Daesh suicide bombers from displaced asylum seekers. The experience of seeing the behavior of Daesh had made the frightened people of the city think that the resistance forces were just like Daesh. Anyway, the city of Bu Kemal was liberated faster than expected, and it was handed over to the Syrian people. Qasem was waiting for the Iraqi popular forces to arrive. Forces were supposed to move from inside Iraq and the city of Qa'im to that point and shake hands with them. Now the Iraqi popular mobilization was standing on its own feet. By cleansing Syria and Iraq from Daesh, American helicopters took the last Daesh remnants and their commanders in the twilight. Qasem was now more than a military commander. He was one of the most effective people in saving two Arab capitals and in creating the most powerful popular forces in the region. Just as he opened the door to the Russians to intervene against the US in the war in Syria, Qasim was now everywhere. A few months before the speech, the head of the CIA had written him a letter of warning that a representative of one of the countries in the region was supposed to hand over to him. But Qasim refused to take the letter. The danger by the symbol of resistance was becoming more and more apparent to the U.S. He had consciously chosen a path in which both his life or death would be detrimental to his enemies. The symbol of resistance, who relentlessly moved towards crises, was heartened by somewhere else. In the Iranian New Year 1398, or March 2019, when a flood hit Khuzestan province, Qasim was there with his constant companion. Although Qasim had gone there to visit the area and help the people, the flood-stricken people treated him like a guest. Those days, one of Qasim's friends, during a meeting, gave him a suggestion. He said that Qasim had to stand for the next presidential election as a candidate because of his social status and his popularity. It was not the first time that Qasim received this suggestion, but Qasim's answer was clear. I'm a candidate for bullets.
از رودها بپرسید زین راه راز پیوند آن همسفر چرا رفت.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Ladies and gentlemen, Salamun Alaikum. You are with today's special from IRIB English Radio. Please join us on how to organize our life in Islam.
Ya ilahi fa'fu anni wahdini wa'ala
as usual, we start today's special after looking at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 7th of Jamadi Uthani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. Corresponding to the 10th of day, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 31st of December, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of chapter Al-Mu'minun, verses 115 and 116.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ
Then did you think that we created you uselessly and that to us you would not be returned?
فَتَعَالَى اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقُّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْكَرِيمِ
So exalted is Allah, the Sovereign, the Truth. There is no deity except Him, Lord of the Noble Throne.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Allah does nothing in vain and created man for a purpose. Without the hereafter, the life of the world would be useless. And therefore, the aim of the creation of man is not peculiar to or limited for this world. This verse thus reflects this truth and becomes a very effective and instructive means to awaken those who are centered upon this world alone. This life has many difficulties and hazards, which Allah has prepared as preliminaries and conditions for the life to come.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً يا ربي
As I told you, today we're going to speak about organization of our life in Islam. Islam encourages us to be neat, to be organized, and to strive for excellence in all things. In the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad, we can see that he, the Prophet, was organized, efficient, and productive. Allah does not like disorganization nor laziness. It's a myth that some people are born with an organizing gene or are natural organizers, and others will never be organized. The honest reality is that organized and productive people have learned the skills and made it a habit of being organized.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, in this very show, we are going to talk about the ways to organize our daily routine. Sometimes, going back to the basics and setting up a daily routine is exactly what is needed to bring a greater sense of balance and happiness to our daily lives. To develop a daily routine that works for us can be a mix of science and an art form. But we now want to share some tips and tricks which we find helpful in developing good, healthy habits and building a routine. The first is meditation and mindfulness. What do we mean by meditation and mindfulness? Starting our day with a purpose helps us shape how the rest of our day turns out. If you have never meditated before, It can sound daunting, but it is really quite simple. A meditation routine each morning before opening any devices can make a world of differences, and it doesn't have to take longer than 10 minutes. And 10 minutes is all you need. IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
The institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
I think it's a good suggestion to look at tips on getting organized. It's good for our iman and our faith too. One of the tips is managing our time wisely. Think about this. Make a to-do list every day. So we have a to-do list today. Review your to-do list and refresh your memory about scheduled meetings or classes. Put things that are most important at the top and do them first. If it's easier, use a planner to track all of your tasks. Make your most important phone calls early, as you're more likely to catch people at their desks at the beginning of the day. Then use your paper or electronic calendar to divide the rest of the day into project segments. Even if your time estimates are approximate, and they help you focus on how much you can realistically expect to get done. Attack the most important projects when your personal energy is highest. Check your email and messages throughout the day, again, sorting them immediately. Read and respond to urgent items, but file the rest away for the time you've already scheduled to handle them. Wrap up the day and prepare for tomorrow. Review your checklist and cross off completed items. Move any pending items to a fresh list for tomorrow. On another note, count your hours.
ربنا رب القلوب وهو علام الغيوب في الشروق وفي الغروب نوره يهدي العصا ربنا الهادي الودود فضله ملء الوجود عفوه خير وجود فارتجي دوما رضا.
You are with today's special from IRIB English Radio, and we're speaking about the planning tools and systems. Let's look at a paper planner. I use the Full Focus Planner to plan the upcoming few days' appointments, schedules, and to-do lists. This is a quality quarterly planner that has some neat features beyond the standard daily planning pages. You'll find a quarterly goal-setting section along with goal progress tracking built right into each day and week, quarterly planning and reflection pages, and a really cool weekly preview spread. These extras are so helpful for productivity and goal settings. A paper planner is a perfect place to keep track of daily to-do lists and time blocking. You can also fill it with lists such as shopping lists, reading lists, and etc. While a digital calendar is a great place to track appointments, meetings, and other commitments. Your paper planner gives you space to zero in on the day ahead and plan out your priorities and to-dos.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Sajda at number 24 talks about the concept of imamat, and this is one of the very few ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the criteria that He used for bestowing imamat to the chosen ones. He is the Creator, He is the Almighty. He doesn't need to justify anything to anyone. Nobody has a right to ask Him. Even the Malaika early days, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed that I'm going to appoint a human being, the first one, as my Khalifa on the earth, you know, the angels had kind of issues about it. And they asked Him. The initial response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, Inni alamu ma la ta'alamun. I know what you don't know. This is not your place to question my judgment or decision. And so nowhere does He explain. There were many cases of anbiya who came who would not have been accepted by the masses if the masses were given the choice. There were some that said, you know, he's neither famous nor has money nor political power. Why would Allah send him? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is His own, you know, it's His discretion, it is His choice. Nobody needs to, you know, question that. But this is one of the ayat, very rare I would say, where He explains that what was the basis on which He chose some and not the others. And this is the way the ayat goes on, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ, and from among the human beings, we appointed some of them, أَئِمَّةً, as leaders and guides. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints them. What was their function? يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا, that they will guide people according to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the function of the imam. But what is the basis? لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُقِنُونَ. Two things He mentions. Number one is sabr and patience. Because they were patient, you know, or they have this capability of being patient in difficulties and test and trial. And number two, وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُقِنُونَ, they had yaqeen and conviction in the signs and the messages that I sent down to them.
As you noticed, we were speaking about how to organize our life in Islam. Inshallah, we'll continue on the next episode of today's special tomorrow. So we meet you soon, inshallah. Fi amanillah.
Crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English.